All right, everyone. Welcome to Top Secret News Radio Show. Renee, are you there?
Yes, I am. Via telephone this time. It makes it so hard for me to use my radio voice. It's like, oh, man.
Yeah, what a difference. But you sound like you're like on location or something, so you can just pretend you're on location tonight.
You know, I could probably walk outside and you know, be on location. Yeah,
that's true. Well, you never know what's flying over top of us here in Northern California lately. I mean, especially here in Sacramento, you actually caught a real interesting pick and sent it to me yesterday as well. I mean, we see all kinds of interesting planes and stuff fly over Sacramento. It's
it's pretty crazy. The air traffic has been kind of off the hook for the past couple days.
Yeah. And what was it that you saw yesterday? Or was it yesterday?
I think it was yesterday.
Or the day before.
Yeah. It was the day before.
Wait, was it the day before?
Because you weren't. Anyway. took some video. I was outside the backyard just kind of getting a little fresh air, and I'm hearing a jet starting to fly over. So I just kind of, casually look up, and then it's like, wait a minute, it sounded like more than one jet. Yep, it was. Another one just was right behind it. So caught those on video. These are definitely Air Force jets, not fighter jets, but, like that old passenger plane or cargo. I thought that was pretty odd that they were flying so close together. So I just kind of wondered, what's up with that? And it was like a couple hours earlier before that were Blackhawks flying around. So I guess they're either doing stuff, for the fire or fire relief, or they're doing something else.
Well, that's true. And I think that actually, we are going to start off the show tonight talking about the LA fires, Southern California fires. Started out in Ventura County, is now headed towards San Bernardino. And the first thing I start to see is, again, these fires they're using it boggles my mind, but they're using the space weapons, the laser space weapons now to start that fire. So first it was the Santa Rosa and Sonoma Napa fires, where we had gusts of wind of up to 80 miles an hour that were just fueling this fire in every direction you could possibly think of, they act like these are the only wildfires that we've seen. We saw the wildfires in Canada that raged for a long time. One of our hosts here on the network, Dave Scott from Spaced Out Radio, his area was evacuated, and he was doing live streams throughout the fire and giving people updates. Then in Oregon, they had that huge wildfire there. And then as it was burning on one side of Oregon, then some teenagers were playing. I mean, again, this is a stupidity, all right? You already got this fire raging on the backside of where you're at. And these kids decide that they're going to set off fireworks over the gorge in Oregon. And it went over to the other side, and it caught the other side on fire. And again, it was during times when they were having, high winds, and it fueled. Mm-hmm. And my uncle actually lives on the other side of the mountain on the gorge in a subdivision, and they got evacuated. And I mean, we had so much family out there that got evacuated. But again, anybody who lives in these areas are prone to wildfires, and many people have experienced wildfires that never made it to national news and have seen fires like these. And again, it's not like every wildfire that you have is going to have high gust winds.
Right.
So all of them are going to be different. But I mean, again, the Napa Valley and the surrounding areas had some pretty severe fires over the years, wildfires over the years. And just a lot of the damage and the way things are, I've seen before. So for me, I mean, nobody was talking space weapons on these other fires. Nobody was talking space weapons, you know, 5 or 10 years ago in wildfires. It's just all of a sudden, any wildfire that pops up, especially here in California, it is now created by the weapons, the space weapons. I just can't even take it anymore. And again, up there, they're having these high winds.
Yeah. And, you know, and when I saw these one in Southern California that's taking place and saw some of the damage in the areas, and I was thinking, like, okay, somebody's going to say, you know, it's another high energy weapon. And then you mentioned, hey, guess what? And so you told me about what was told to you, and then it's like you just had to shake your head and like, what are you gonna do?
I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. As soon as the fire happened, and then you started seeing like the mountainside of 405. I mean, this wildfire looks like a wildfire in a gusty area. They're off of the ocean side. All right, so they've got the ocean, the winds coming in there. I mean, I think they were having, when I watched the weather channel, they were having 60-mile-an-hour gusts. So again, it's just fueling this stuff. So it's just, and all that's out here in California on our mountainsides is dry grass. So that's why they have signs all up and down our freeways and highways saying do not throw out, you know, cigarette butts, because if it hits the side of the road, and it will go up like a torch. And then you throw in some winds at the time. Oh, yeah, it's going to be a much bigger fire than if it's not. So it's really the, you know, well, flip, you know, the coin in the day of the month.
You know, and that's kind of the thing, you know, with the Napa fires up here, when you got, okay, one fire sparked off and it started burning some of the brush, and then of course it's going to grow, and plus it's around the time when we're having those winds. And then on top of that, you know, we have these other people who, shall we say, arsonists wanted to add a little more drama to it, and they started more fires to take up opportunity with this high wind. And of course it's going to create, you know, massive damage. So, and it has nothing to do with the, you know, the high energy weapon at all. It's kind of strange folks right down here trying to stir up the pot. And of course it's creating more chaos to try to get the real news out.
Right. And see, again, okay, anybody that knows me, anybody who knows you, I mean, this is a show we do. So if it's, you know, a good conspiracy, I am all down for it, you know, and like we can talk about all kinds of interesting things. We could talk, you know, we'll still be talking about the Las Vegas shooting, I'm sure, as time goes on. Larry Warren case. And in fact, oh, that's a another topic we need to discuss tonight. So, all right. So everybody knows that we had Larry Warren, Gary Haseltine. Larry Warren was associated with the Rendlesham Forest incident and was one of the first witnesses of what he experienced out there while he was in the military. So we brought him on the show, and boy, oh boy, I was getting people mad at me before we even brought him on the show. I had another person who was trying to manipulate me into setting him up. And when I didn't do it, I just brought him on the show to give him a platform. I didn't realize he was part of a group of trolls that were after Larry. So I was like, okay. So
it's one of those things, you know, and it's like, how dare you have him on first?
Right. You know, so I didn't even realize this, you know, this was the same person that they didn't like. So I'm like, oh, well, I'll give you guys, you know, I brought on Larry and I said, and I'll give you guys an opportunity to come on the following week. Mm-hmm. And so, oh no, that wasn't good enough. No, we won't go on, you know, after Larry Warren. He's a liar. He's this, he's a that, he's a fraud. And I was like,
I guess he corrupted us, I guess, you know.
I guess, or maybe I've got him under my spell, and you know, because you know, like I'm like I've got the hypnosis cult leader thing going on to make everybody. I'm still wondering why, see, even in that situation with Larry, and they came on, they didn't get mad at you. When their group now trolls our shows with Larry on them, they don't talk crap about you. They specifically talk shit about me. I think there's something wrong with that picture, to be honest with you.
And you know, among many other things, that just seems to follow us around. You always hear about the good witch, bad witch, you know, the wicked witch of the West.
But you're supposed to have my back, Renee. Not only are you like one of my best friends, you're also, you know, as you say, my brother. And you are my co-host of the show. You're my lead investigator for my team. I mean, my goodness, like, really, you should have my, and I know that you have my back 100%, but you always want to just, you know, sit around in the back and just kind of, you're like, oh, Christina can handle this, no problem. And they always, you know, I will, and they always just come after me. And since Renee didn't say anything to offend anyone, he doesn't get any of the backlash.
Well, even with our last incident, you know, when it comes to witches, you know, you get the whole blocking thing, and you know,
I'm pissing everybody off across the board and across the nation.
I have to laugh because, you know, this so-called witch knows that I work with you. We do a show together. You know, we're on a team together, but I haven't been blocked yet. So,
yeah, I don't know. You know, the things that make you go, you know, and back to the whole Larry Warren issue, you know, these people swore up and down and they troll him like crazy. And again, it was kind of the situation made me want to bring Larry on even more because I had gone through the same kind of, you know, trolling mm-hmm. and bullying BS years ago as well. And like, I understood that. So I wanted to give both sides an opportunity. They didn't take the opportunity, but Larry did. Gary came on. He was a retired police officer. So I had no doubt in my mind to believe him. And back when we had them on the show, you know, Larry had been on the show, and actually Joe Montato had him on before and actually done a stress analysis test on him. And mm-hmm. on our show, Joe actually came on to reveal that Larry had passed the lie detector, the stress analysis test, the voice analysis. What is it? The voice stress analysis test. Mm-hmm. And it. Right. And so he had not once, I guess, but twice. And so, mm-hmm. again, even though they put that out, you know, his little hater group. Oh, and I'll probably get hate mail for that one too, because they hate when I call them a hater. But the little hate group, so they continued to go and post more stuff out. No, that didn't mean anything. And, you know, Joe wasn't telling the truth, and just on and on and on. So behind the scenes, it was set up for Larry to actually go and take an actual polygraph over in the UK with one of the top polygraph examiners in the area. And he recently released the results publicly, where he said that he, well, it was revealed that he had passed and he did tell the truth. So if there was any doubt in the little hate groups or all the people who contacted me or Joe or the network about having Larry or Gary on the show, because Gary got just as much many attacks, I guess, as even Larry was getting for him still even backing him, because so many of the people for so many years that had been close to him ended up being, you know, the leaders of these hate groups. So I would say if anything that really shatters what they are saying, at least where it comes to the Rendlesham Forest incident. Now, you know, at this point, I would really like to see some of the other players, especially Colonel Holt, to go and take these same polygraph tests on their recollection. And we're actually going to be having Larry come on. We're trying to set it up as we go. I've been ill, so I haven't been able to get anybody else set up. But I know that he's going to be coming on Joe's show, I believe. Joe, I know you're listening in. Why don't you chime in if you're there? I think it's Wednesday the 13th.
Yeah, it's the 13th.
All right, so Wednesday the 13th, he will be joining Joe to discuss this topic, and then again we'll be having him on our show in the next few weeks. But congrats, Larry. We always knew that you were telling the truth, didn't doubt it for a moment, and we're happy that, you know, you came on the show, and looking forward to having him back again. But I'll tell you, boy, it's crazy the stuff that people have really no life or just such a hatred. But as horrible a thing of it as it is, you know, my warped sense of humor, and I know that Larry probably won't even be upset. He'll probably, you know, think it's funny. But I'm kind of actually glad that I'm not the only person that has, like, such a hate group that will go to just no ends to try to discredit you and turn people against you and just do whatever they can to just make your life hell. And I think only the really strong survive in these fields, because it seems to be a topic that is happening more and more. All it takes is for you to piss off the wrong person in the wrong field that might have a lot of connections, and you have no clue how quickly you can be blacklisted and just people are just not even going to mess with you no more. And it's just all based off of what somebody may say.
Yeah, you know, some of these ones, these haters, you know, say that we, you know, that we didn't really have, you know, big numbers of a listening audience, and we had to laugh at that because, oh, really?
Yeah. Well, we get our numbers every single week at the end of the show, and I get them for mine too. And it's not like they're always the same. Believe me, they fluctuate sometimes. But that's how they track everything. And not only do they track the numbers, but to the different countries with the listening audience in each country, and then it breaks it down into the U.S. and then it breaks it down to cities. And so, I mean, there's a lot of information that are in these numbers. And so, again, it's funny because it's great. I mean, it's great as far as when you're with an actual network, that your numbers, what your numbers are, and that they're increasing as you go along again, because then you become an asset to the network. If your numbers never grow, I mean, what's the point of them continuing to keep you around? I mean, anybody who knows anything about radio knows it is about ratings. And so if you're not a show that's producing, you know, high numbers, you know, eventually they got to make a decision on, you know, do they continue to keep you in that slot, or do they bring in somebody or put somebody else who might already have a listening audience that they're bringing with them, or they might be able to bring the numbers that, you know, the network's looking for. So again, there's a lot to it. So everything that we've done on especially on this show has been, well, in mine too, all been self-promotion. You know, I started the show out years ago and with, you know, different networks, and then brought Renee on, and then from there went to another network. And so here, and now we're here. So,
again, you got to realize too, we're on an FM station. We're also on several other platforms as well too. So again, a lot of people do tune into this show, whether it's, you know, they're catching the live show or they're catching it on the archive. So again, those numbers always seem to grow. And so that's something to be said about, you know, we only have, you know, not that many of a listenership. I don't think so.
But, you know, even if again, we only had,
check your
even
facts.
But still, even if we only have 5 listeners, I mean, it's 5 listeners. Obviously, you want to hear what we have to say. To be honest, I mean, I always wonder. It's like sometimes when I listen to the show, I'm just like, oh, I can't even listen to my voice. So I just want to turn it off.
Oh,
but,
come on. You have some of your favorite people who love your voice.
I still don't understand it, but I mean, that's, hey, if it works, it works. That's all that matters. And, you know, I have always hoped to be able to separate, you know, the shows, have, you know, all different topics that we cover. And it's been great, especially when we have a break in guests that we've, you know, tried to do last year. And we started out pretty good, but then as the end of the year came, we had so many guests that were wanting to come on the show that and interesting topics and new guests that it just, we really didn't have time for top trending news at all.
It's really interesting too, how everything works out, you know, when we do our shows that, you know, for a while, you know, we look for guests and, you know, try to see if they would like to come on. But now, the guests are asking to come on, you know, because they would really love to be part of the show. This show and also your show. So there's a lot to be said, you know, with the type of topics and kind of things that we want to talk about. And I think that's an awesome thing because people want to know about the unusual, strange, and paranormal stuff. So.
Right. So and I think being able to have some, you know, well-known names coming on the show is always great. But if anybody follows our show also knows that we have a lot of new names or, you know, unheard mm-hmm. names in the field before telling their own personal stories, or they just wrote a book and they're coming out. They want to promote that book. I mean, again, I'm always interested in the newer stories. I mean, we've heard the older stories over and over and over. And yeah, although they're still interesting, you can only talk about them so much. So if you have, you know, new people coming out with new stories, I mean, I love hearing those stories and I love those, you know, those topics.
Mm-hmm. Even when they're based on, you know, they caught a sighting at some point and they weren't sure, you know, how to get to us, but then there was somebody that we knew had a wonderful sighting, you know, from back east, and he assured that he was over, I mean, he wasn't high at the moment, but
Right.
But the footage that we got from him was spectacular. I had to say that was a really great footage. And so, you know, whether you're high or not, I know some people might be when they catch something and not
maybe
sure.
Maybe we should just put it out on raw video. It
makes it real. It's real. And they're catching something they don't understand. And they're really hoping somebody else with a fresh pair of eyes that's clear might be able to make something of what they caught.
I'm going to have to put like a disclaimer at the beginning to try to not be distracted by all of the audio that you're going to hear and just focus on the other areas at the top of the screen.
But you know, to be honest, I think that was one of my favorites.
Yeah, but keep the audio because it is pretty comedic.
You know, the commentary was funny.
That was priceless.
What he had in there was definitely awesome. And I have to say that was definitely a legit object that we can't explain exactly what it was, but it was, good footage. Mind the commentary.
Well, you know, the thing is like, you know me, I mean, my sense of humor, the commentary to me is just hysterical, especially if you know the background. And this is one of our, you know, listeners who's been listening for a while. He actually has come on the show before because he had a sighting in his backyard and thought for sure that he saw, I believe, an alien or something near his, or he saw something.
Yeah.
Near his deck, and so he's always sending me videos, and the first thing, like one of the videos or something, you know, he said something about being stoned, and so it became the running joke that every time he would send me a video, he would say, what do you think about this? And I'd say, oh, are you stoned? And he would say, well, yeah, but what does that have to do with the video? So with this one, he was out there and he saw something. And so he got his camera out and he tried to videotape it. And he finally zoomed in and he gets a pretty good, you know, picture of I can't even...
It didn't look normal. I gotta give it that.
Right. Definitely, it was like a triangle, like in the sky. It's kind of weird. So maybe I will put it out there. I mean, just I'll ask him. I don't think he cares because he puts it out on his page all the time anyway. But Annie was all excited that he was, he talked about it on the show. But he zooms in on it and you can see it for a while, and then all of a sudden all the lights go out and then he loses it and he can't see and he can't find it anymore, and he's just so astounded. And the first thing he says after that is into the camera is that, and he swears he's not even stoned, and he said he told me he hadn't smoked for like 2 weeks. So I was like, okay, you know, this video was really good. And so I, you know, sent it to a few people, and, you know, so far nobody's really been able to give me an explanation. I had people who checked the area that day and see if there was, you know, any kind of stuff reported in the area at that time. I mean, nothing. We couldn't find anything, but he said that it went completely quiet right before he and as he was videotaping. So, I mean, again, it was interesting. I'll put it out there, but it was just funny, the background story to it, because, again, he's kind of comedic when he's talking about these sightings that he sees. Mm-hmm. And I said, are you sure you're not just paranoid because you're stoned? And he was like, no, I'm telling you, I've been seeing these lights. And so I said, all right, well, you just got to keep keep videotaping, and when you think you see something. And it was kind of funny because the other night he had called me, but I was sick, and so I didn't get a chance to answer the phone. And he had sent me a picture of the supermoon. And, you know, it was so bright out. It looked like, in some places, it looked like it almost had a halo of the ring around it. The funny thing is I had got on Facebook, and I must have seen 5 or 6 pictures of different people on my Facebook page that were posting pictures of the supermoon. And that's the way it looked in every single picture. So he was like, "Oh my gosh, Christina, I don't know what in the world is happening, but something's going on with the moon." And I was like, it was so bright, and it had almost like this weird ring around it. And he's like, "I sent you a picture." And so, like, I sent him another picture or something like that. And I'm like, "Oh,
you're
alert over."
You know, the way you're making them sound exactly like him. You're a pretty good impersonation of him.
I'm trying to tell you, it was so funny. And so I said, "Oh, red alert's over. You know, it was just a super moon." And he was like, "Are you sure? But the stars were so bright." And I'm like, "Oh, super moon. Super moon is super bright." And he's like, "Oh, wow.
Super bright then." And then, you know, probably being still might even make it brighter. I'm just saying.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. But, man, we love this stuff, though. I mean, we really do. He does come up with some good stuff, too, when stoned or not. He does find some good stuff. And he's hoping that we would look at some of the stuff and see if we make anything out of it, if any of the sightings that he sends us. So we do appreciate that.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, again, it's one of those things that I love when our listeners call into the show. I love when listeners or people that, you know, I know on Facebook, you know, private message me and tell me all these interesting stories that are going on with them and stuff they've experienced. Travis right now is asking about our guest from last week. What did we both think about his story? So I guess that's going to be the Stardust Ranch. John Edmund.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had like a lot of torn, you know, thoughts from the listeners. On social media, you know, half thought it was really interesting and they loved the show. Other people said that, you know, they could buy up to the point that he said that he had killed 19 aliens and that he had sent everything away to the labs, but never took pictures. And, you know, I mean, I brought that up during the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But didn't really get a answer, just said he didn't. But, I mean, me personally, if I had killed one, believe me, I not only would you have, I have DNA, but I'd have, you know, I'd
be doing our own forensics.
Exactly. I mean, there'd be some, I don't know that I'd just be sending the body away to some lab and hope that it, you know, everything's comes back legit or whatever. But even if that's the case, I surely would take a picture, a video, some kind of proof. I mean, that would be the first thing. I mean, everybody has a cell phone nowadays.
Yeah.
So all he'd have to do is if he shot it, is pull out his cell phone, take a video or a picture or whatever, and bam. Now, then you send it off to, and you show a video of you boxing it up and sending it off and putting all the stickers on it. So you have video proof that you've done all that, and it being shipped off, you know, by courier or however they do it to make sure that it gets there safely. And then when you get the DNA results back, boom, there you go. You put it on video. Like, that's how I would have done it, video documented it.
I probably would have, you know, not only do that, but kept some samples for myself and have it stored, kind of thing. Because once you send it out, you may not hear anything from it.
You know, yeah, very true.
Down to the proof, you know, it's like, you know, I'm going to save some of this DNA for myself here, and you know, put it in whatever containers, and just. Because he said he chopped it up, you know, so I'm surprised he didn't keep at least something of it. I don't know. It's just, you know, there's part of it that was going up to certain parts, and then some parts I had to, like, I don't know. But, that, you know, there's no really proof if he would have, you know, thought of it, knowing that people might think, well, they would ask for proof.
True.
I would have been all over with the camera for sure.
I just don't see him getting the money that he's looking for. Because I think he wants $6 million. I think he wants the same as what was paid for Skinwalker Ranch. And I believe it was in that range.
Yeah.
But nobody's taken him up on his offer. I guess it's been for sale for a while. But then he, you know, because as soon as he said he put it up for sale, then, you know, he started getting a lot of people wanting to do interviews and come to the ranch because it was going to be closing down. And then he's kind of, I guess, stopped the allowing people to come, and, you know, people were just showing up at the property itself. And, you know, Lisa's saying, if it's so dangerous, why would you want to stay and let your family live like that?
That's a good point. I don't know. Would you buy it if you had the money?
See, the thing is part of me would say yes, but because I would think like the research aspect of it would be
right
amazing. But again, doing research and living in a place that active are two different things. Because just imagine at night, you know, and probably even in the daytime, you're not going to get a whole lot of sleep. The stuff that's going to be happening is, I mean, after time wears on your psyche. Like you said, he lost, you know, cattle and goats and dogs, you know, that have had lasers taken to them to remove vital organs. I mean, again, with paranormal activity, we have a good idea of concept of at least what to do and how to stop it, how to cross things over, how to get rid of things, all these different things. But when it comes to alien interaction, abductions, stuff like that, we don't know how to stop that. Not that I've been shown enough evidence to be the truth.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm sure that with people doing research, once somebody does find a way to be able to stop abductions, they will probably be one of the most popular and sought after people in the field for a long time. Because they'll have something that nobody else has. But, I mean, would it be a good thing? Yeah, but do I really think that it can be stopped? No, not so much.
I don't have to, you know, think to, you know, the right things to do when it comes to that kind of research. You know, if there are the extraterrestrials that are behind a lot of the stuff, what kind of measures were taken as far as even making some form of contact to find exactly what's going on, if anything, to be able to create a treaty between them, kind of an agreement or whatever with that contact. There's a lot of things that you know, a lot of people don't really have tried other than what the government have done. I know they've done their little things of communications and stuff from a lot of the reports that we've had.
Right. Interesting you said that, because Mike from chat was saying that he was actually surprised that the government doesn't buy the ranch, you know, because if it's really that active, you would think they would want it. Right. Or Bigelow. It's not like Bigelow doesn't have the money to go and buy a second ranch.
No kidding.
Right. And after all, you know, the money.
Who's to think that they might even be connected?
There you go. There you go. Or, again, maybe the government would want this place because, obviously, you know, they didn't know that it was that active. I mean, it was the same way with Skinwalker Ranch. Although there were all kinds of, you know, legends of that area, obviously nobody took it too serious until, you know, the rancher owner of that property started having all kinds of crazy things happen. And then it got brought to attention. Once it got nationwide attention, then it, all of a sudden the story went real big. And so now here we have another one. And what I understand is there's actually a few other ones that are considered, and not even just here, but in other countries that are claimed to have activity like that. So who knows?
Yeah, got me too. If I had the money, I would want it. I would, actually, because I would go do a lot of studying, and I get much sleep doing it, but still, I would definitely try everything I possibly could to try to see what form of contact to make to be able to study. You know, they're probably studying us. Well, might as well study them, too. You know, to try to come up with an understanding of what is actually going on.
Yeah, you know, but when you got some dark stuff.
Good or bad.
Yeah. No, but yeah, that might, you might feel that way. But again, then once it's stuff's attacking you and it's like you don't have anywhere to go because that's where you live, it's a whole different thing. You know, it's like, you know, moving from the suburbs to a new, you know, state, and you move straight into the hood and you had no idea because during the daytime it looked all nice and there was families
come out at night.
Right. And you didn't realize that once the lights went out, they're going to be drive-bys and people selling drugs. And, you know, there's going to be aliens and attack, you know, paranormal entity attacks and all this kind of crazy stuff going on and abductions and all kinds of stuff.
I can hear you calling me up and saying, Renee, don't you ever watch any of those movies? You know what happens.
Exactly.
All those
don't you learn? Damn. I'm trying to tell people. They take some of these movies right out of real life and nobody learns from them. It's like, you know, how many years did it, or tens of years did it take in the horror movies for the writers to realize that we've all caught on? It's really stupid to go anywhere like to a campground or to a killer's house and be in the woods and be in some damn high heels. So you're going to run through the woods in some big ass high heels and not expect to fall down, slide down, break your ankle, break your leg so that he can get you and now kill you. It like, who does it? Maybe like back in the 70s, like that, like went on. But I can remember back then, like yelling at the movies, like, get up. Like, take off your shoes. Don't turn around.
Don't go down in the basement, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, no, because I can see you doing that, though.
The power going out, and where's the fuse box? Oh, it's down in the basement.
Well, yeah, you would do something like that, though. Like, I would say, Renee, it's probably not a good idea we go down there. And you would say, oh, yeah, you're right. And then I would turn around and go walk up the stairs and then look back and you'd be gone. And no, I wouldn't think that the ghost came and got you. I would think that your ass is down there looking around. So then I'd have to go down after you and see, make sure everything's okay.
Well, you know me. You know.
I know you. That's the whole point.
Yeah. Whenever the action is somewhere and everybody's running away from it, we're running to it. So, I don't know.
Or you're just wandering off by yourself and not letting anybody know where you're at.
Oh, like if I... Oh, wait a minute. I did do that, didn't I?
Yeah.
In the orchard. In the orchard. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the orchard. Don't forget the orchard.
Yep. Yep, I was all by myself. And well, I couldn't say that I was actually by myself. I mean, physically, there were others that, because everyone I was taking some steps, I heard other steps behind me. Are you guys following me?
Yeah. So. Mike just said, another one is don't open the door that closed by itself. Yeah, dummies. unless you're ready to see what is on the other side.
Well, I guess we do fit those movies, I guess.
Yeah, in some ways that's true, but I mean in the horror movies, you know, they don't know what they're doing. Oh, well, we don't know what we're doing either. We're unprofessional. We're unprofessional.
That's right. You know, next time we go to a really haunted location, I mean, not a house or anything, you know, private case. You know, we're talking about really a haunted location. You know, we'll make sure we'll charge the spirits. And then we'll say, we're professionals, but we'll bill you later.
Well, I'm still, you know, waiting for my official certificate in the mail for the online class that I'll probably never take, but I still want their certificate. So maybe I'll just print it up myself. It seems to be the popular thing to do.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm pretty sure you can print your own. You know, the most outstanding student, you know, in the study of the paranormal. Yeah, I can almost see that.
Well, it's been an interesting ride with that one. We'll just leave that one alone. We got about 5 minutes left. So since we have done no top trending news, we did the fires and we talked about other things. So the space weapons. So we've talked about a few things, but we're going to come back with some of the latest top trending news stories on the internet, and actually we can probably even take some callers if we'd like.
Let's take some callers.
All right, so if you're interested in calling in tonight for the second half, you got an interesting topic to share, an opinion or a question, you can call in. The number is area code 504-273-7379, and you will be dropped in directly into the call. So once you hear Renee and I talking, please just mute your phone and we will be notified that you are in the queue, and then we will announce you can come on live. And with that being so, okay, I think that's it. What else do you want to talk about for the next 4 minutes?
What else are we going to talk about? Let's see. We've talked about the fire.
Or if Joe's listening, I guess we could just go 4 minutes early.
Oh, If Joe is ready to do that, I mean, it's up to him. What do you want to do, dude? Other than that, I know I was having, for the past several nights, having issues with our internet. Always around this time, the internet would totally shut off.
And, oh, that's right.
Yeah, you know, and like Saturday, I couldn't even go on the internet, even on my phone.
Oh, wow.
You know, I had absolutely no service on the phone, no service on the internet. And it's two different platforms. I mean, you know, different companies. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know if they're the internet companies are doing their little, rolling blackout kind of situations. I don't know. Because it's
and what's
more
weird,
than one
though,
going through it. Yeah.
Yeah, but
you know,
what's weird is I'm only, what, you know, just 5 minutes driving away from you, and
yeah,
our internet was fine. I had phone service and internet on my phone, so yeah. very interesting.
My roommate couldn't do anything with his phone. We were just totally stuck with. We was like, yeah, well, what to do now?
It's like the old days. Oh my gosh! And there's no everything's digital, so there's no more books. I got books.
Well, you know, we got books. I mean, we could tell ghost stories, but he doesn't like ghost stories.
Well, then give him a book, and you just go stare out the window.
How'd you know I was staring out the window?
I have the last few nights, and I'll tell you, with that super moon, I'll tell you, that was an amazing sight, and it was so bright. I mean, to sit here and lay in bed and look out the window and be able to see it, it was just pretty awesome.
You didn't see no aliens yet, huh?
No aliens yet.
No abductions, no nothing, you know, no probing. No. Well, those are doctors.
No.
Never mind.
Other than doctors, no probing. But, you know, I am a little interested in, and we can talk about this when we come back, but a story spirit for you, she was saying that super moon brought on some odd energy, and you know, that was very true. A lot of people were commenting online about that, so we'll talk about that and all the top trending news as soon as we get back. You've been listening to Top Secret News Radio Show on the UPRN Talk Radio Network 107.7 out of New Orleans, and we'll be right back. All right, everybody, welcome back to Top Secret News Radio Show. We are back for the second hour, and this hour, we promise we're going to talk about some top trending news.
That's right. We had some interesting news here. We were talking just before we came on.
That's true. See, this has nothing to do with anything we normally talk about. Well, I guess we have talked about it on a few shows. But the new sex bots that are out there. And of course, you know, Japan came out with one and a few. And so now the US and Silicon Valley decided that they were going to come out with their own version, because of course Japan can't just have one. So now we have a Caucasian one with a blue eyes, I believe, and she has blonde hair. And they're selling them as companions, and of course you can have sex with them if you want, but it's just somebody to emotionally be there for you as well, and all this. So
wow,
yeah,
I can't even comment on that. it's just way too much, and they have way too much time on their hands. Just saying.
All right. Well, here's playing the devil's advocate. So you're a single male and you've been married before. So would you rather go out and find a woman and hopefully that you'd be compatible, and knowing that if you get into an argument, they are not going to back down, and you cannot, they do not have a switch that you can turn off. or they're probably going to take you for half of whatever you have. Or you could spend some money and you could get this companion sex bot. You could have sex whenever you wanted to. They'd always tell you what you'd want to hear. And you could shut them off when you just don't want to hear them anymore. Put them in the closet until the next time you need them. Which way would you go?
Well, the thing is,
won't take half your money if you don't like them anymore. You just send them back to the factory and trade her in.
Way I would go is, a real woman. If it doesn't work out, then it doesn't work out. Even though it's a nice warm body and all, just kind of. And if she doesn't shut up, well, then I pretty much shut out anyway, so.
Whatever. Mike says you're boring. You can probe her, Renee.
Oh, no, I'm not going to. No.
You love to talk about probing all the time whenever it has something to do with me and being probed.
That's Joe's fault. Yeah,
okay. We'll blame it on Joe tonight.
Yeah, we'll blame it on Joe. But
why not?
I'd rather have a real person, because the automated one is definitely not for me, or just too creepy. It's just like an oversized doll.
Okay, what if it was the difference? What if you're given the choice of being by yourself for the rest of your life with no sex, or a sex doll? Well, I guess it is a living, it's just not a breathing. So a artificial intelligent sex bot, robot.
No, I'm not feeling it. No, I don't want to feel it. I don't even want to touch it. You know how you are with haunted dolls?
Yeah.
I'm like that. I'm like, no, I am not touching it. because bad enough that they have these, these sex bots, and they look still pretty darn creepy. No matter how real they try to make them look, they still look creepy.
Can you imagine? Like, yes, Renee, I'd like to give you a blowjob right now. I really want to. thing is, I would be scared as a man. Is this is still a robot, okay? And so we did that story on the on one of the other News of the Weird where the sex robot blew up and caught on fire while the dude was having sex with her. So I don't know, as a man, I would try to be more worried about being able to have sex anytime you wanted, or you being up in this sex robot and it internally combusts.
Well, that's a hot one.
You know?
No, I don't think so. You know, especially if, you know, these things are made. And so, yeah, they do break down. They probably